and turn to Acts. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Acts, chapter number 16. Well, thank you, Brother Angel, for having us in. And it's a joy to get to be here at Faith Baptist. And boy, your preacher is loved all across this country. And we were just preaching and making a new recording down at Faith Music Missions in Evansville, Indiana. And Brother Russ, a good friend of mine, he said, yeah, he said, we've been wanting to get Brother Angel down here. And in fact, we was talking about to Brother Brown, and we was talking about Brother Angel. We sang good things and about him. And they said, yeah, I said, we want to get him down here to preach. And I said, you don't need him. You need us evangelists, you know. But anyway, just kidding. But they want your preacher to come down there. And that's a blessing. Of all the places that he can go and be, he chose to be right here with you all. And I know the Lord's using him to do a great work. And thank you, K-Dub, for getting that set up there for me. And I'm going to preach tonight from Acts chapter 16 and show some pictures here of testimony about our wreck and situation where we're in. I want to give you tonight three elements of the old-time religion to help you through tough times. Three elements of the old-time religion to help you through tough times. And God has been good to us. He is good all the time. I was preaching down for Brother Jimmy Tedder at Victory Baptist Church in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And he's got his folks trained. Preacher, every time he says God is good, it could be in the announcements, it could be in a message, it could be any time. And he says God is good, the whole congregation simultaneously talk back to him and say, all the time. Let's try. God is good all the time. Oh, that's right. He is. Even when you don't think he's good, he is good. That's the truth. And boy, I appreciate the goodness of God and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. And he has blessed us in so many ways. And I want to help you with some things tonight. Acts chapter 16. Look there in verse number 25. The Bible says, in the midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. Then he called for a light, sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Isn't that interesting? Now, this man, what would bring that about, that this man who was took part of them being beaten and bound and held captive in the innermost part of the prison, what events would take place to cause him to run to them, the prisoners, and say, what must I do to be saved? It's interesting to think about maybe what would have happened there. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for this church and Lord, for their goodness to us and how much of a blessing they have been. And Lord, I appreciate it. And I pray you'd bless them for it. And Lord, I pray you take these next few moments as we look at your word, as we try to be a help and a blessing. Use us now tonight. May decisions be made. May hearts be encouraged. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. It was a dark day in a damp, dingy dungeon for Paul and Silas. There they were. They were beaten and bound and held captive in the innermost part of the prison. Their prisons they had back then weren't like the ones we had today. They didn't have weight rooms and exercise equipment, and they didn't have polished floors, and they didn't have their own facilities in their rooms and TVs and all that sort of thing. No, they were shackled, bound hand and foot, placed in a dark, damp, stinking, rodent-infested dungeon, not being unleashed for anything for long periods of time. So you can imagine, if you just think, what these conditions were. There's Paul and Silas down there. Just moments before, boy, they'd seen people saved. They was out on the street, boy, passing out tracts and preaching on the street corners. And somebody gets saved and they don't like it. And they get falsely accused for doing what's right. You know, bad things happen to good people. Don't always understand it. The tour group from Crown College was traveling just 20 minutes away from their next meeting. They got hit head-on by a fruit truck that swerved, lost control for whatever reason, and came over into their lane of traffic and hit them head-on. And I believe there was five of them in that van, and they were their lives were taken just immediately. The van turned into a ball of flames, and they were some of their best cream of the crop. You know how it is. I know Brother Angel preaches and teaches up at Providence, Brother Gomez, our friend, and you know they have a group that travels and sings. You can imagine that group of boys losing their life. They're some of your best ones, and they're examples, and they're you're trying to show, well, this is what our product, this is what we're trying to do with young people, to send them out to do a work for God. And for something like that to happen, you wonder, why did that happen? We don't always understand why, but God has reasons for bad things happening to good people. And this happened. And you wonder, boy, why did that happen? They were doing the will of God, doing what God had called them to do, and then pow, man, they get hit with something. It's a picture here of our family and our old rig that we had. We was traveling down the road on May the 14th, and it was about 3:30 in the morning. We was having to do an all-nighter to get to our next destination. We were in Missouri and traveling south on I-63, headed out of Columbia into Jeff City. And I was getting a little bit tired, and I told Loretta, I said, babe, I'm going to pull over, get some fuel, get out, move around a little bit. We only have a couple more hours to go. Unhitched my seatbelt to reposition there in the seat a little bit. And just a moment or two after that, we hit a slick spot in the road they called the Ashland Curve, and it has a new patch of pavement there. Have a lot of accidents there, and we found out about that after the fact. And you know how new patches of pavement, they get oily and greasy and slippery right quick. Just a light drizzle rain. And it was driving under the speed limit, but boy, when we hit that slick spot in the road, boy, the back end of that truck began to slide. And I tried to correct it, but it had no bearing. She just jackknifed, and the whole trailer swung around backwards, loaded with, this is our home. We don't have a house on a physical piece of property. Our house is right here on wheels, most all of our possessions on board. And so when you've got your family and your possessions in a trailer like that, and it swings around backwards, and you're sliding backwards down the highway, that'll put bubbles in your belly right quick. Amen. I'm going to tell you, and you know what it'll make you do? It'll make you pray. Well, that's what I did. Man, I started praying. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, help us now. And, boy, those were all the words I got out of my mouth. But whenever I said, Lord Jesus, help us now, we went into a spin, and we hit the grass. The trailer rolled, and it just unfolded. It just exploded. And the only things left of the trailer, you can see in the background, is the framework of the floor system. Everything else was just torn to pieces, and stuff was strewed over a quarter of a mile up and down the road, and it just blew to pieces there in the grass ditch median, and the truck continued to roll and landed on its wheels. And I was thrown through the windshield and bounced down the pavement there a little bit. I was laying, and we were headed south, and now we're in the northbound traffic. Good thing it wasn't during the day when there's a lot of traffic. I was laying in the driver's lane. The middle of the road was, our truck was laying there, and the bed of the truck's like somebody pulled the back end of it off and stood like a tower in the middle of the road. And then our truck was sitting there in the passing lane, and then the trailer is there in the median. Stuff is just scattered everywhere, all over the place. And you see the caption there, Loretta and KW and little Joe ended up underneath that mattress right there. That's where they ended up. And Jeannie Mae was still inside the truck when that happened. And even Jack, our little puppy dog, he survived the wreck. He stayed in the truck. But I tried to be Superman and fly out the windshield, and that didn't work very well. Amen. And I was there, and you say, what'd you do? I'll tell you what I did. I prayed. Well, that's what Paul and Silas did. The Bible says, in the midnight, what'd they do? They cursed God and said, I quit. This ain't fair. Wah. No, didn't do that. In the midnight, Paul and Silas gave up on God. No, it doesn't say that. In the midnight, Paul and Silas, what did they do? They prayed. But when you don't know what to do, that's what you can do is pray. Amen. One of the greatest things you can do when you're going through a tough time, take advantage of that opportunity to get closer to the Lord. Because I know that I'm closer to God now than what I was before because of the time I spent with Him praying. When Loretta was kicking around through the remainders of her belongings and trying to find a pair of shoes to put on, She was praying. I was laying there on the pavement, and I was in more pain than I care to remember. And somebody called me and says, what was your injuries? I said, well, I had 4 broke ribs, a punctured lung, separated shoulder, broken shoulder blade, 4 cracked vertebrae in my back, my nose was severely broken, several lacerations in my face. Other than that, I was okay. I was laying there hurting for certain. But you know what I was doing? I was praying. I was saying, oh, Lord, I was wondering, is my family alive? Did anybody make it? And, oh, God, as I just laid there and I prayed. And when you don't know what to do, pray. And at night, if you can't sleep, maybe that'd be a good thing, is just get up and to pray and to walk with God and talk with God. That time that you spend with Him, boy, you've got to have it. And if you don't pray, you'll get bitter. I've seen people go through tough times. And the reason why they got bitter is because they didn't pray. Hey, you need to talk to God about it. Boy, pour your heart out to God, and I guarantee you, that's what Paul and Silas did, was they prayed. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, brethren, that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're supposed to pray for people. That's why we had the prayer time tonight. And you got prayer lists. We're supposed to be remembering to pray. And God help us to get busy about praying for folks. Here's the scene of the truck at the accident. Some people are saying, oh, Brother Walker, shame on you. If you hadn't unhitched your seatbelt, you would have been okay. The rest of the family guy was okay. No, I tell you what, if I wouldn't have unhitched my seatbelt, you see the driver's, this is a front end picture, that the cab caved into the driver's seat. And the Lord was in that just moment when I unhitched that seatbelt, because they said, if you had been buckled in this situation, you would not have made it. Boy, I thank the Lord for His providence, for His goodness. Amen. He must not have been done with us yet. That's for sure. I mean, to tell you what. What did we do? We prayed. That's what we did. And I guarantee old Paul and Silas was down there in that jail. And I guarantee they prayed. They might not have understood it for a while. And then maybe they said, Lord, we don't quite understand this. This doesn't make sense. We are trying to do your will. We're out preaching, trying to start churches, see people saved. And now this happens. Oh, God, I just pray that you just show yourself strong. I imagine they spent some time praying. And after a while, I bet they probably started praying for that jailer. I bet they said, oh, Lord God, I pray that you'd help that jailer to see that if he dies lost in his sins without Jesus, he's going to die and burn in hell and fry like a sausage. I guarantee the old jailer's down the hall. He's listening to him. Why else? Why else would he have come running unto them saying, what must I do to be saved? Why would if he came to them and say, well, I don't want to go to hell. I guarantee you, they was praying the gospel to him. I guarantee you, say, oh, Lord, help that jailer see that Jesus is the only way and his shed blood on Calvary paid our sin debt. I bet you the jailer said, oh, shut up. Hush up that preaching and praying. I don't need none of that. Save it for somebody else that needs it. After they prayed for a while, their heart began to get warmed up, and they started praising. See, when you pray, it'll warm your heart towards people that's done you wrong. Yeah, it'll warm your heart towards those who are the enemy. And at first you might want to kill them, but you spend some time in prayer. And I tell you what, God has a way of changing your attitude and your thought process towards them. Amen. And getting the Word of God and read it and pray. And boy, that's what they began to do. Man, they began to praise God. It says there in the midnight, not only number one, they prayed. Number two, they praised God. They reached down in their heart and they pulled out a song. And I bet you they probably started singing, I'm saved to the uttermost, I know that I am. I'm washed in the blood of the precious Lamb. Woo! I tell you what, Brother Silas, isn't it good to be saved? Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Woo! And I bet you the old jailer said, shut up, that's singing, you're driving me crazy. Can't sleep. And they're down there just singing. I bet you they sang the gospel to him. Because you love me, my Savior died. On the cross was crucified. Woo! Isn't it good to know that I bet they had a time. That old jailer's down there about ready to go nuts. He's sick and tired of their preaching and praying and praising. And that's just what they did. Man, they kept on preaching and praying and praising and thanking God for what he did. Another angle of the truck there. And it took 8 men. 9 hours to pick everything up. You look at all that and you think, my goodness, what a mess. What do you got to thank God for? Well, I tell you what, I got something to thank the Lord for. It was when I laying there on my back and praying, and Loretta came up. She said, Kevin, she said, how you doing? I tell you what, that was so good to hear that voice. Because I was laying there wondering, is she alive? Are the kids in pieces? what's happened. Boy, that'll put fear in you when something like that, you go through a situation like that and you wonder about your whole family. And she said, how you doing? I raised up my head a little bit and I could see through one eye, but the other eye I could barely see through. And I saw her and I said, how are you and the kids? And she said, they're all okay. They're not even been hurt. We pushed the mat. They pushed the mattress off themselves and looked up and saw they was outside. Got up and didn't even have a scratch. You look at that, you say, how in the world did they get up without a scratch? They got up without a scratch. I tell you what, it was just the Lord. It was just God, I think, just laid them down. I tease them. I say, well, the Lord was saving you. The devil was trying to kill me, that's for sure. Yeah. Hey, but I could praise God, and I laid there. And while I was laying there in all that pain, I wasn't thinking, oh, my boots. Oh, my cowboy boots, are they? My ostrich cowboy boots. That Brother Goddard gave me, that I only wore one time, that somebody stole when they was picking up one of that sorry outfits stole. But I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter. Not me. I prayed for him. Prayed for the fleas of 1,000 camels to infest their armpits. That's what I did. I prayed for him. But I wasn't laying there thinking, oh, my precious toys, oh, my guns, oh, my bow and arrow. Oh, no, I wasn't thinking about things. See, you can replace things, but you can't replace people. Amen? Hey, I can replace the motorhome. I can replace that stuff. And by the way, the Lord did replace them boots. I only wore them one time. Did you know, all of a sudden, just in the mail, these boots shows up. Nobody's name on them. Didn't know where they came from. Exact replica, same boots that Brother Goddard gave me, came in the mail whenever I was recovering, staying at Brother Callan's house there in Sherrillville, Indiana. I don't know where they come from. I don't know if somebody stole them and sent them to me. I don't know what they have, but I tell you what, praise the Lord. He, you know, God has never taken anything away. He didn't give me back something better. Amen? God's good. And I tell you what, I could still praise Him. And I laid down and I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, that my family's alive. Thank you that the kids are not hurt. Thank God. See, some of you are too busy for your family, too busy for your wife and your kids, because you're working and living for things. And I tell you what, things are not more important. Get your priorities rearranged and realize there's more to life than possessions. Hey, people are more important. Thank God that we were still alive. We laid there and, boy, was praising the Lord for His goodness. And, man, while Loretta was walking around through all that wreckage, she was praising God for His goodness. And my family was there with me. I was in the hospital for 4 days, 2 days in intensive care. And that was the spirit of my family the whole time I was in there. Preacher, they never one time complained. Never one time they say, Daddy, it was your fault. You was tired and you went to sleep, didn't you? No, didn't go to sleep. I was wide awake. Oh, Daddy, it was your fault. No. Not one time. Oh, Daddy, all my toys is gone. Oh, never one time did I hear KW fuss and complain about his Barbie dolls being destroyed. Not one time. Can you believe that? Hey! Not one time. They was right there by my side the whole time. Just praising the Lord, just happy, just glad that we was together. And you know what, by the way? Preacher sent us a love offering. Little country church apologized for the offering being small. It was $300. And they was apologizing for it. And you know what he did? He said, Brother Walker, this is not for you. Well, he said, it's for your kids. He said, they're supposed to take this and go shopping because we knew that they probably lost some of their toys. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. Man, they went on a shopping spree. They lost toys they didn't even like. And they get to buy new ones. Amen? See how good God is. And they got to go get exactly what they wanted. And they went to Toys R Us. Boy, they got them some toys. They was tickled. They had a time. Man, they enjoyed it. Hey, you know, everything God took care of it all. A preacher I never even knew showed up and picked up my kids. That was in the they were in the motel. And they picked up the kids and took them to Walmart that morning. It was about 8:30 in the morning. And kids were still, the boys was in their sleeping clothes. And a head cut off shorts and a sleeping shirt on. And KW found some shoes and Joel only had one boot on. And the preacher takes him to Walmart. And I could see the preacher bringing in these kids. They're muddy, in sleeping clothes. Joe's coming in with one boot on, you know. hobbling in. I bet they thought, where'd he get these homeless folks at under the bridge? Where'd these folks come in? He took them in there and he bought them pants. He bought them shirts. I never even knew the man. Never even heard of him. But God sent people right when we needed and took care of the motel rooms and took care of food and took care of everything that we need. Boy, God just came through in the nick of time. Everything we needed. Well, where He guides, He'll provide. He took care, showed Himself strong. Man, we could stop and just praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise God for how that He supplied. Praise the Lord for how that He took care of us. My whole family was all the time by my side, not complaining, not whining at all. Thank the Lord for a good family like that. And by the way, even Gabby, maybe he survived with minor injuries. Amen. Had to do a little operation on him, but he's okay. And the kids was calling up wondering, did Gabby make it? You know, calling up wondering if Jack, our puppy dog, made it. Yes, indeed, they made it. Thank the Lord. We was down for 6 weeks. And then our first meeting was at Brother Dave Smith's at family camp. And the Lord provided, and He was good to us. And we was able to get in to another motor home. The day we were supposed to leave Saturday to go to Dave's. And it's Friday, and we don't have a motorhome. And the rest says, Kevin, what are we going to do? And we've been praying. We've been trying to find one. We've been looking, and the Lord just kept closing doors. I haven't made a flight down to Tennessee to look at one that was supposed to be a real good deal. And we felt like the Lord was leading, and the Lord closed the door on that. And I'm just thinking, Lord, what are You doing? Here it is. We're supposed to leave, and we're supposed to go to leave to preach. And it's Friday. Friday morning, I found the motorhome we got now. Friday afternoon, we made a deal on it. Friday afternoon, we took it back to the Callens' house. We loaded Friday night, and we left Saturday morning. I mean, just right down to the wire. But the Lord just took care of it, and boy, it's just perfect and exactly what we needed. In fact, I'd looked at this motorhome a couple weeks before, but it was out of our price range. And the guy calls me back, and he says, hey, I got some factory rebates that's brought this thing down considerably because they're wanting to move it because they got all the new ones coming in, and they want to get rid of this old one. And so, man, Lord gave us a good deal. We was able to get that thing and hit the road running. Man, praise the Lord. I tell you what, God was good in everything. He supplied all of our needs. And, boy, we couldn't just stop and just say, man, praise the Lord. Praise God for His goodness. $250 check come in. Another little church, they was almost apologizing for it, and that was the day before I was supposed to get some glasses. I went to optometrist, and went optometrist, isn't that his name? Optometrist, yeah, that's what he is. And optometrist, and I went in there, and whenever he got finished, it was $225. I had $25 left to go get a hamburger. Amen. You know, the Lord just knew that. He took care of it all the way through. I thought, boy, He's taking care of me. Everybody, they see that me pulling that with that big old motor home, and they think, wow, must be nice, being rich, insurance paid for that. Yeah, right. Insurance try to get out of everything they can. They want to take money, not give out money, amen? They give us $2,000 to start over with. You imagine buying, it's like buying a house. And so, but you know what? God took care of it. God met all those needs, and boy, I thank the Lord for it. And how did He provide? How did He supply? I was in the hospital. And the nurse said, Brother Walker, where are you going to live? I said, I'm going to get me a cardboard box and I'm going to sleep under the bridge. And I laughed. And she looked at me like, are you serious? My brother heard about it. He lived a couple hours away. And that's where I stayed while I was recovering. When I pulled up in his front yard, guess what was on the front porch? All these boxes. I said, Kevin, here's where you're staying. Brand new box right underneath the bridge, man. He had them all lined up there. And I said, Brother Walker, what are you going to do now? Now that you're all busted up and you've lost so much, what are you going to do? I tell you what we're going to do. Get some signs, stand out alongside the road, homeless, we'll work for food. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit. God treat me this way. God allow these bad things to happen to me. Well, that ain't fair. Let me tell you something. Life's not fair. Huh? Now, that's what we could have done, but I said, I'm not going to do that. What are you going to do? I get up out of here, I'm going to hit the road again. I'm going to get me a motor home, and we're going to keep on doing what God called us to do. I'm going to keep on preaching. God didn't tell me to do nothing different. Hey, you just keep on. How many times Paul could have quit? He could have quit right there in the jail, but he didn't. He kept on preaching. First he prayed, then he praised. And number three, he kept on preaching. He kept on doing what God called him to do. He said, I'm not going to quit. That's what they did. They kept on preaching, and even in the jail, he preached. The old jailer got saved, didn't he? And there's our new motorhome. Back in the South again. That's how we paid for that thing. Them kids out on the street, you imagine how much money they'd win. If you see us now, diesel fuel being up $3 and plus, you'll probably see us out on the street tomorrow. Amen. So if you feel generous, stop by and give us a donation. Amen. I'm just kidding you. But I tell you what, the Lord is good all the time. Amen. They kept on preaching, kept on doing what God called them to do. Hospital chaplain came to me. I was laying there. And I was in more pain than I care to remember. And they had me on morphine and who knows what else. And I was taking trips without leaving the room. And I'm laying there. Well, Brother Don, you know what that's like, taking them trips. And some of that redneck pain-free medication. And I'm laying there. And the nurse says, Kevin, hospital chaplain's here. And I thought, oh, Lord. Hospital chaplain. Most of them, they're religious and lost. And I thought, oh, that's all I need. The Holy Spirit says, hey, here's your opportunity to witness. And so I lay in there. And so I'm talking like I'm drunk. And I said, yeah, tell him to come over here and that's in my bed. He come over and stood next to the bed. I said, sir, I said, I almost got run over by two semis. By the way, I forgot to tell you that. While I was laying there, two semis come down off the hill. They saw the wreckage. My daughter, Jeannie Mae, sat up in the back seat of the truck and looked out and saw them coming. They didn't see me. And they swerved and missed the wreckage and came within 9 inches of running over me. Both of them flew by. They pulled over. They came back to the scene. They saw me laying there and they saw their tracks. And they were visibly shaken. And they said, ma'am, did you all move him? Have you moved him? She said, no, that's where we found him. They said, we don't know what it was that kept us from running over him. I know what it was. Amen. It was the Lord. Because usually when you have semis run over you, you don't survive. It's not a good outcome, okay? That's the truth. And so I was telling this fella, yeah, I almost got run over by these two semis and they almost run over me. If I would have got killed, I would have went to heaven. Now, how about you? He looks at me and he looks at Loretta. Loretta just smiles like, yeah, you think he's crazy. And he is. And he really wants to know that. And he said, yes, sir, I would. And I said, have you ever accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? He said, I sure have. I said, well, you can pray then. And so he prayed. We got done praying. He left. And Loretta got tickled and was laughing. She said, Kevin, wonder what are you doing? I said, I didn't want someone to save man praying for me. And if he wasn't saved, I was going to get him saved. Amen. Now, I was going to probably start at Genesis and end up at Revelation. But I said, I'm going to get him saved. I can't tell you how many people have gotten saved because of that story. Because of some of them pictures. Paul and Silas, was it worth it to go to jail so that somebody could get saved? And by the way, I guarantee you, I believe that Philippian jailer got saved because of them. I guarantee you he heard them praying. I guarantee you he heard them praising. No wonder whenever the doors fell open and that earthquake, I bet you he thought, uh-oh, God is getting us. We got some of his choice servants bound up down here, and God got his attention, rang his bell. He comes in there, what must I do to be saved? I want what you got. Does the unsaved world look at you and say, I want what you got? Or do they say, that's what a Christian is, I don't want that. If that's what they get down there at Faith Baptist Church, I don't want none of that. Paul and Silas, boy, they had a testimony, didn't they? Thank God for it. They just kept on preaching. Even when the bottom falls out, even when you're going through a tough time, even when gas and diesel goes up so expensive, what do? You just keep on praying. Keep on praising. Keep on preaching. Hard to tell how many folks will get saved out of this hurricane deal. Just say, hey, if you would have been in the middle of that and lost your life, where would you spend eternity? I tell them all the time, truck stops, I can't tell you how many truckers and people I won to the Lord. Say, I was 9 inches from death, but if I would have got run over, I know I'd go to heaven. How about you? I've seen many of them saved. I was preaching Salisbury Baptist Temple in Salisbury, Maryland. And I preached the same message and used these same pictures. And the Lord had another divine appointment that morning. A family of four, mom and daddy and two teenagers, came in and sat down for the first time. They listened attentively during the message. Whenever I gave the altar call for those to be saved, all four of their hands, boom, shot up. When I gave the invitation to come, they stepped out and couldn't run down to the aisle quick enough. They were all sweetly saved. After the service, I went back to the back, shook their hands, visited with them, and come to find out, they said, "Preacher, this is our first time to be in church in a long, long time. And this is our first time to be in church since our accident." They said, "Just a few days ago, we were in a tragic accident, and our son almost lost his life, and you could tell by his features that he had been through some surgeries and had suffered a lot of injuries." And they said, "We almost lost him, and we almost died too." And they said, "Well, preacher, the Lord used that message to get our attention, and all of them got saved." And they said, "Thank you." You know, the Lord just had a divine appointment. He's just saying, there's some folks, and they came back. They've been coming back every service ever since. They emailed me, and they said, "Brother Walker, we just got baptized, joined the church. Been coming to church." Say, "Brother Walker, was it worth it to go through that windshield? Was it worth it to be down for 6 weeks and to go through that pain? Was it worth it so some of these folks could get saved?" I'd say, "Yes, it was worth it." Now, I don't want to be Superman again, flying through a windshield. But I tell you what, I thank God that somebody got saved because of it. Amen? Got any intentions of quitting? Diesel fuel's going up. Well, I didn't get into it because diesel fuel was cheap. Huh? You do the will of God because God tells you to do that. You know, you just do it. God's going to provide. He'll take care of it. Amen? He will. Man, Ben, he's going to take care of it. He's going to get his support quick. Amen? If you give me a little bit of money on the side, I'll call some of these guys. No, I'm kidding you. But you're called to do it. God will take care of it. They kept on praying. They kept on praising. And they kept on preaching. Yeah, it was worth it. So some folks get saved. You're going through a tough time. These are three elements you just need to keep doing. And don't stop. And don't throw in the towel. Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's lost, they don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight they get saved. Lord, if they was in a tragic wreck and they almost lost their life, it's such a good thing to know that you're heaven bound. I pray. The Lord, maybe there's some folks here that are going through a bad situation, a trial, a heartache, a tragedy, a divorce, a fire, a loss of income, a sickness. Something's come their way. I pray, dear God, that you'd show yourself strong. Make yourself real to them. I pray, dear Lord, that they would pray and draw closer to you. Dear God, I pray they'd reach down in their hearts and pull out praise and thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray they'd keep on preaching, witnessing, being a testimony. As folks look and see how they handle the tough times in life. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one is looking, let me ask you tonight. I wonder, friend, do you know that you go to heaven? Is there somebody here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm lost. Preacher, if I would be in that accident, if I would have gotten run over by those semis, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. I'm uncertain of my eternal destiny. I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven when I die." Anybody like that tonight, who raised their hand, say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know that I'd go to heaven." Anybody like that? Anyone at all? We don't want one person to walk out the doors lost. Not one. I wonder who'd say, "Brother Walker, God has spoken to me tonight. And God has used the message to be a source of encouragement. And maybe it's your prayer life needs to be better. Maybe you've not been praising the Lord. You've been complaining and fussing. Maybe you've not been witnessing and giving the gospel like you ought to. I don't know what it is. I don't know what God has spoke to you about, but who'd raise their hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to my heart tonight. The message was for me. I needed that. God spoke to me." God bless you. Many hands, many hands. Maybe you're one of those people that's been, possessions have been more important than people. And boy, you need to reprioritize some things. And maybe you got caught up and just working and not having time for anybody, anything. Whatever it is that the Lord has dealt with you about, whatever God has laid on your heart, you obey the Lord. Let's all stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed. Lord, God bless now as we have this short invitation to take a moment, Lord, just to pray and to talk to you. May decisions be made. May we draw closer to you. We ask these things in your precious name. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as pianists begin to play a verse of invitation, if God has spoken to your heart in some form or fashion, you step out, you come, find yourself a place to pray. Maybe it's been a while since you thank the Lord for your family, for your loved ones, and for His goodness to you. Maybe it's been a while since you've witnessed to somebody and told somebody about Jesus. Paul and Silas did it in jail. We don't have an excuse. Maybe it's been a while since you've prayed. I don't know what it is. If you're not going through a tough time, you will someday, and you need to be ready and know how to handle it. They prayed, they praised, and they preached. You obey the Lord. These have come, these are praying. You spend as much time as you need tonight here at the altar.
If the Lord has spoken to your heart tonight, get over the Harrison preached on how to survive the difficult times. I preached on adversity Sunday night. I had no idea Brother Walker would bring this message tonight. It's the Lord trying to prepare your heart, speak to you. God speak, be a great testimony in these difficult days. You come as long as that tonight. I've been waiting for a moment. Ushers, if you would, prepare now for the offering.